So, good morning and welcome to these morning instructions. It feels so good just to be sitting here in silence, doesn't it? But we need to say something about offer some guidance, some pointers for the practice of today. And the way we are going to do that every morning is to use a particular sutta, so a particular discourse of the Buddha, that is going to be the frame of reference of our practice in this retreat. And that sutta is called the Satipatthana Sutta. Satipatthana, it's two words. Sati is this Pali term which usually is translated as mindfulness or presence or sometimes awareness, or recollection as well, remembering, recollection. And patana is foundation, base. So satipatthana would be the base of the place where we place our mindfulness. It's like the Buddha was saying, if you want to walk this path towards awakening, it is a very good idea to bring your attention into these patanas, these areas of experience. And there are four. He presented four areas of our experience in which to place, to bring our attention. The first one is the body. The second one is the hedonic tone of experience, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant or something in between. The third one is the realm of mental states, thoughts, emotions. And the fourth one is a collection of frames of reference from which we look at experience. And I'm going to talk today about the first one, which is the body. It is the first one, and it is the foundation of all of them. We start with this one, and we never, never leave it behind. We never leave it behind. It's quite important to really establish and learn to establish our attention, our mindfulness in the body, and from this foundation we can go and also traverse through the three later. So what did the Buddha mean when he said, bring your attention to the body? Basically, we choose a part of our body to place our attention. For example, it can be, yesterday I mentioned the lower part of the body. Bring your attention to the lower part of the body, to your feet. Can you feel your feet now? The sensations in your feet. The legs. The knees. The buttocks. Can you feel the sensations in your hands? Maybe some vibrations or tingling sensations. Maybe can you feel the sensations in this, in your face? Some coolness in the air. Or it may be the sensations of a breath in your body. Can you feel sensations of a breath? Your body breathing. The Buddha also mentioned postures. Yes. To be aware of your posture right now. Are you aware of your body sitting? In the sense of your whole body sitting. And when you are standing, to be aware of your body standing or lying down. He also mentioned awareness of the body in movement. When we walk, for example, from one place to another, or when we move the body in whichever way, your arms, your torso. So the encouragement is to bring your awareness into the body, to inhabit the body, so to speak, to inhabit the body. Not to think about the body. Not to conceptualize the body. But to inhabit the body. To feel the body, so to speak, from the inside. There is a big difference, a big difference. Because we have a tendency, don't we? We have a tendency with the body. We tend to think much about it, get worried about it, concerned about it, how our body appears, for example, to others, the appearance of the body. Is it looking good? Do I look good? Do I don't look good? Or the health of the body, over concerned with the health of the body. Or the aging, when we age, or the fragility of the body, really concerned about that, about getting ill, about the body not working properly. We can get entangled in that dynamic, don't we? Getting over-concerned with the body, over-preoccupied with the body. I mean, we need to attend to the body, of course, as much as we can to provide the conditions for the body to be healthy. But there is a tendency of getting over-concerned this aspect of our bodily experience, and also about how the body appears. Or we tend to compare our body with other bodies. Comparing and then suffering a lot about that, or trying to get the body, our body, to adopt a certain idealization of how our body should be. Yeah, we can get over-concerned with this aspect of our being, the body, and get very worried and preoccupied and suffer a lot with it. We can get very identified with our body. Mistaking who we are with our bodily dimension, our physical dimension. Or another issue, another tendency with the body, we dissociate from the body. Dissociation. And we tend to live mostly in our minds and tend to forget about this. That's another tendency. Or we may make the mistake of confusing happiness with sensual pleasure or comfort in general. And the opposite, unhappiness with discomfort, with pain. I mean, that's a tendency, and even it has been developed into a philosophy. Jeremy Bentham, a British philosopher, developed a philosophy called utilitarianism based on that assumption that happiness is the sum of sense, pleasure, and comfort, and unhappiness the opposite. He gave a philosophical expression to a tendency, a human tendency that we have. So to cut that tendency, the Buddha said, look, know the body in the body. Know the body in the body. And he meant just experience the body. Experience the body. Bring your attention into the body. Bring your mindfulness into the body. And just sense a part of the body, the breath, the posture, the movement. Don't go into thinking about the body, conceptualizing the body, worrying about the body. It was very clear. In order to cut that tendency. And, you know, for this purpose we use different practices, and for example the formal practices of bringing your attention to a part of the body, or mindfulness of the breath, or mindfulness of the whole body, or walking meditation. Informally, we can bring attention, mindfulness to the body while we are out and about, while we are moving around, while we are working. I mean, this is very, very relevant in this retreat, particularly. Can we have a degree of mindfulness of the body while we are working? This is much easier, of course, when the work is a simple work, manual work, or a work that doesn't need much thinking, pondering. So take the chance, because you're going to be given that kind of work. But even if your work, when you go back to your normal life, even if your work demands a lot amount of thinking, is it possible always or at times at least to pause and to bring your awareness into the body and how the body feels? Or to have a sense when you're sitting at your desk, the posture of your body, or is the body tensing? That's something I've been experimenting when I have to do some work sitting at a desk or computer work. The posture of my body when I am typing or when I am writing, and noticing if I am tensing, and trying to soften the tension. And there are other practices, but I'm mentioning just maybe the main ones. And why is this so important? I mean, I said it's the first of the Satipatthanas, and also it's Satipatthana that we maintain even when we practice other Satipatthanas. Why is it so important? Well, for a start, the body is an anchor for our attention. It is an anchor. What happens when we don't have an anchor for our attention? Normally, the mind goes off into thinking, into fantasizing, daydreaming, problem solving, thinking about the past, projecting to the future. That's a tendency of the mind, especially if you are not facing, a task that demands mind power, that demands that you engage with a certain issue, problem to solve it. So that will be a challenge that you will face when you are doing your work. The mind going off. Can we use the body as an anchor to remain in the present moment while you are working? And when we notice we are lost, can we come back to that anchor? The body is, the place to come back when we realize we have been lost. The body is also a refuge. It is a refuge. When we realize we are in the middle of a mind storm, entangled into, worrying, or into an emotional storm, anger, for example, frustration, sadness, whatever it is, the body is a refuge to come back, to calm down. When we are in the middle of, very strong papancha, this spinning of the mind, as soon as we notice that, can we bring the attention to the lower parts of the body? Especially, to connect with the ground. to find refuge there, not to fight the mental or emotional storm, but to look for this refuge in the body and to wait until the storm has passed. So the body also as a refuge. The body can be also a place where we can find a base from which to observe the mind and to learn about our mind. So we get a good foundation in the body and kind of look at the mind, what the mind does. So we learn about our tendencies of the mind without getting lost in them. And the body is also an arena in which we can gain insight. We can learn a lot of things just paying attention to our bodily experience. We can learn a lot of things. We can learn about change and impermanence. You know, the body changes. The body changes externally. But if you pay attention to your bodily sensations, you can learn also about change. Even in a very small area of your body, can you notice a change of the sensations? So we learn about change. We learn about our tendencies, our reactivity. We learn about aversion, when we encounter something that it is felt as unpleasant, the tendency to push it away or to remove ourselves from it. We learn about that. We learn about the opposite tendency, craving. When we experience something pleasant, we imagine we will experience something pleasant, the tendency to go towards, to grasp, and to cling to what is pleasant. We also learn that in the body. And we, in the body, we learn also that we don't have to be a slave to those patterns of reactivity. We can learn that in the body as well. That we can feel that aversion, that craving, and we can let go or at least soften the reactivity to that craving, to that aversion. We can learn that in the body as well. And we can also learn about care, about kindness, and about compassion. We can learn also that in the body. How to be kind to our body, compassionate about our body, experiencing pains or discomfort or difficulties. or the process of aging. We can learn that. And we can learn how bringing these qualities of care, of kindness, and compassion also softens reactivity. So this is going to be our first foundation, the body, bringing mindfulness to the body, to our bodily experience. And when I say the body, you know, not only what we experience internally in the body, but also, you know, the senses as well. The senses, for example, when we eat, we can bring our awareness to the sense of taste. We can take that chance, that opportunity here on retreat, and to experience how it is to eat, being fully aware of the process of eating. The taste of a food, the smell of a food. When we are out, can we also bring awareness to the smells around? Or sounds? So it's good to choose wherever you decide to place your attention in your bodily experience, and to stick with it for some time. Mm-hmm. You can make it, you know, the whole period of morning working, or for some time, half an hour, 1 hour, and then change. But just to be really clear where you have decided to base your attention. And that's another lesson that we learn with this mindfulness of the body, that we can be intentional with our attention. We can be intentional with our attention, and not just to leave the attention willy-nilly to go wherever it wants to go, which is normally to get entangled in the mind, in thinking. So really being intentional with your attention, deciding where you want to place your attention, and then, you know, sticking with it for as long as it is possible. And when you notice you are lost, just forgiving yourself, being very kind to yourself, very kind, very gentle, and then bringing it back again and again, again and again, to whatever you have decided, to your posture, to your body movement, to the activity you are doing. Maybe pausing from time to time, feeling the breath, you know, standing, feeling your body standing, maybe stretching. And then resuming your activity. And that's about you know, the instructions related to mindfulness of the body, this first satipatthana. And before I pass to Gavin, I just want to say just a couple of things about posture while practicing sitting meditation. I mean, I know that most of you have been practicing for some time, but just reminders And also, in case you are new to sitting practice, it can be helpful to have a few pointers. What we try, the way we want to hold our body when we practice sitting meditation, is to adopt a posture that supports your body to be upright, erect, and at the same time that you feel comfortable, that you do not strain your body in any way. And you can be sitting on the floor or on a chair. Yes, please don't think that sitting on the floor is better at all. Just be kind with your body, and if for you it is better to sit on the chair, you feel more comfortable there, then go for the chair. What is really important is that we find 3 points of contact with your support. If you sit on a chair, your 2 feet and the buttocks. If you're sitting on the floor, your 2 legs or 2 knees and your buttocks. And that you sit in a way that allows the pelvis to be tilted forward slightly, to be slightly tilted forward. Sitting on a chair, there are wedges that can help you for that, or you can fold a blanket and put it at the back of the chair. It's good not to lean on the back of the chair, by the way. And yes, you can roll a blanket or put a wedge that will help the pelvis to be tilted forward. And if you're sitting on a cushion, you can sit at the front of the cushion. That helps. If you sit on a bench, the benches have that inclination, so naturally they are going to help you to adopt that tilt. And that tilt is going to, to support this uprightness without tensing. And then the arms, nicely soft and relaxed, hanging from your shoulders, and placing the hands wherever they feel most comfortable, either in your lap, if you want to adopt a traditional mudra, positions of the hands, or on your thighs, or on your legs, on your knees, wherever it is comfortable and it doesn't drag your shoulders. And then the neck following the line of the spine, and you can imagine there is a thread attached to the crown of your head, and someone is pulling gently and kindly that thread, so you can elongate the neck slightly and slightly tuck your chin in. This is some basic pointers, and please experiment with your sitting posture. If you're sitting on cushions, you can experiment with different heights or using different props. Try an experiment, and if you are experiencing issues or difficulties with your posture, please come to Gavin or to myself, and we will give you a hand with that individually.
So we've been sitting for a little while, so feel free to move this body of yours a little if you would like to. Bring a little bit of ease. And yeah, really hope you're all settling in well here and starting to find your flow here at Gaia House. And I'm not going to say too much more about our practice this morning because Ramiro's really mapped out this way in which, whether we're sitting formally or informally, we can practice it, and it can all serve, if you like, this very particular aim. So one of the other translations of this word foundation or base is establishing, which is also really nice. So this sense that we are, in a very real way, establishing mindfulness, establishing liberating mindfulness. So this path where, in a way, it's very pragmatic, we really can start to sow the seeds and grow this quality of presence in our life, in our being. And in this teaching, very much this sense that this can flow through the different postures we find ourselves in. And of course, the sitting posture is very helpful because we have a very clear intention and we unplug from a lot of things that can be distracting in our lives. So a very important home base. But the invitation is to continue to grow this. This is very much there in this teaching through all the different postures, to continue sowing these seeds, if you like. So one other helpful thing to bear in mind, because one of the things I think to really say at this point is just really emphasize relaxation and kindness. You know, meditation's it's a little bit different to how we approach so many things in our life where, you know, we sort of effort and we feel like we need to try really hard and make something happen. It's a very different type of effort, much more relaxed, much more easeful, much more kind of patient, just this willingness to keep coming back. In a sense, we're starting to do less than what we normally do, which is all sorts of, you know, lots and lots of thinking and lots of planning and all this kind of thing. So one thing just to bear in mind in this teaching, it mentions this sense that if we give awareness or keep giving awareness to the body, the heart and mind starts to settle and gather naturally. So it just does this itself. And that can be helpful. It's not that we're trying to make the heart and mind settle down, because that can have the opposite effect in a way when we try to make something happen. But by simply coming back to the body, giving awareness to the body, it's a real support for the heart and mind to start to settle. So this settling can happen as we move about the different postures. It doesn't just have to be in the sitting posture. So you can sort of carry this sense of real simplicity with us and kind of ease and relaxation, because of course we need to listen to the instructions we're going to be given about our tasks and work, and we're going to find our minds doing what they do. But then there'll be these moments of awareness, and as Ramiro said, we've got this opportunity then to come back, reconnect with whatever we're choosing to give attention to. So and yes, just this sense of pausing being such a helpful support. So giving yourself permission, exploring, just pausing right there in the middle of whatever we're doing. Just reconnecting, beginning again. And this is the way these seeds can be sown and things can start to grow. And again, a little bit different to often how we relate to doing tasks. So We've got absolute permission to not feel like we're needing to complete these tasks or get to the end of them or anything like that. It's really about being there for them. So just notice that tendency if it arises, it's this thing to do, maybe finish this, get to this bit. And just to know you have real permission just to do whatever you're doing at a pace that feels right for you, feels good for you. And yeah, real self-care, self-kindness, just pacing yourself. Those of you who are outside, it's going to be another hot one. And so just with this awareness of body, and as Ramiro mentioned, this potential to be compassionate, really tuning into what you need, you know, taking on water, these type of things, and having, as we mentioned last night, kindness and curiosity really there at the forefront. We're exploring, if we're giving attention to the moment, we're really taking care of the moment, and we're exploring what happens, we're exploring how we're feeling, what's arising for us, how things feel in the body. That's the practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.